The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, I am back. Yes, I know we didn't have a show last week. I didn't think I was really in the right mental place to put on a decent show last week. I'm probably still not really. I don't know. But I don't want to miss 2 weeks in a row. We're just kind of struggling with some things around here. I'm not going to get into it. But yeah, if I'm not in the right spot, I don't come across very well. And so I just felt better to not have a show last week. But this week I am back. Because there's a lot of fun things that happened over the weekend with a Summer Games Fest. And I wanted to be able to bring that up and share a little bit about some upcoming games that have been announced. And, of course, yeah, hopefully you'd be excited about that. I also want to tell you a little bit about some plans that Philip and I are developing that hopefully is going to equal either, well, it might end up being a new podcast altogether, but it also might be some fun we're going to have here. I recently finally got around to watching The Sandlot. I know what you're going to say. What? You mean you hadn't seen The Sandlot before? Yes, that's what I'm saying. I had not yet seen The Sandlot, and I finally watched it. I've been planning to be able to sit and talk about it with Philip because, you know, being someone who's seen it multiple times, I thought it'd be a fun conversation. But we have not been able to get ourselves coordinated. But this has been part of an idea that Philip kind of has had that there's a lot of movies still yet that I have not seen, some of them from the 80s, some of them even earlier than that, that he wants to sit down and have me watch. And we've thought it would be funny if we kind of talked, well, no, I don't know if funny is going to work, but if we talk during the movie, although, you know, Philip, he talks during a movie about any time. The only time he won't talk during a movie is maybe when we go to the theater, but even then he'll still talk during a movie. But we thought, what if we recorded that and got the audio, maybe even get some video of us, and then you could do a watch-alongs or listen-alongs with us and stuff like that. So we're thinking about doing something like that. There could be parts of episodes here where I will edit down to only when we're talking on stuff, but maybe we'll start a new podcast that'll be, I've even made some logo stuff for called, Talking During the Movie. So we'll see how that comes about, because there's some movies that I haven't seen that he thinks I need to watch. But I will, of course, you know, for audio's sake, I will skip to the supports where we actually say something. But he thinks because my face is very expressive, it'll be fun to watch. So he wants to put a camera in my face, which means I'll also want to get a green screen to put behind me. And then we'll integrate a way for you to be able to sort of watch along at home or listen along. Maybe we'll even put a thing on YouTube where you'll be able to see clips of the film, but silenced and cut down to where we don't get it into copyright problems. So we'll have to figure that out, you know, what we're allowed to do. Since we're commentating on stuff and you don't hear the audio of the show, I think we'll be okay with that. But we're still developing that idea, but that's kind of what's come about where I watched The Sandlot and I was thinking, well, next I'll watch Field of Dreams and maybe we'll record when we watch Field of Dreams. But hasn't happened yet. And as you've noticed, I have not talked about The Sandlot or my thoughts on the film or anything on the show yet. You know, I've had a lot of things that have been on the burner that have not quite been working out for the show. And it's getting more difficult to keep the show going, but I'm still here. We're still going. And that's just kind of the way it is. And maybe we'll have a different show. Maybe we're going to turn a corner at some point. I don't know. One thing that kind of kept the show going is there was always new things for me to be excited about. And there's not a lot of new movies that come out that I'm getting excited about anymore. Things have really changed over the last 4 years or so. And Hollywood is, and they're feeling that they're feeling it. They're really not putting out much that get me that all excited. There's even a Star Wars series. I'm not even going to mention by name. I'm not even going to get in on it, but I'm not excited about it after I, you know, the more things I've read up on it and some of the things going on, I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Sounds like they dropped the ball. And if you're enjoying any of that, that's fine. You go ahead and you enjoy it. But, you know, you have the right to enjoy it, but other people have the right not to enjoy it. You know, you got to just kind of balance it out. And so I'm just going to move on. I don't want to be disappointed by, you know, never mind. I don't want to get into it. I really don't. But I do want to let you know, okay, so the Retro Rewind podcast, which some of you may have checked in when they did the 1987 Masters of the Universe film, I guested on the show to talk about that film. Well, tomorrow night I'm going to record with them to talk Iron Man. That's right, that movie is now old enough to be considered a retro thing, because I guess it's at least 15 years old now, so they're going to talk about it on a Retro Rewind. I will be guesting. We'll be recording it, what would be for me, late into the evening tomorrow, and so they'll release that episode probably later this week. So if you happen to listen to their show, or if you haven't before, I'll make sure I try to get some links for you, and I'll make sure I share it on our Facebook page and whatnot. Which I've been having some fun with the Facebook group. I've been sharing a lot of different fun things I'm finding about some different information about the behind the scenes of various different things, from Batman to a lot of different stuff with Muppets, I think. It's just been a lot of fun. So if you're not part of the group, come and join in. We are having some fun and looking at some different things. That's kind of more of what I wanted to do with the show anyway, is be able to do some retro stuff. But some of my retro stuff has just fallen through here lately. That's all. But we are going to have some fun today, because, like I said, I do have some news for you. I do want to tell you what I am playing, though, right now. I do finally have the WWE 2K24 game, and I have been creating characters. If you go and you want to search for, if you search for Spider Pan, or if you search for Glue, GLU Band, because I was in a band called Glue, Glue Band 1977 on the PlayStation. I think mainly for going through 2K stuff, you're gonna have to search for Spider-Pan. You can find what I'm creating and putting up there. I have so far got a version of myself, my wife, Tifa and Aerith from Final Fantasy VII. I've created a Masters Universe arena with a show, a Final Fantasy VII based arena and show. There's, you know, I've been creating a lot of stuff. So if you want to come and get some of the some fun stuff, or be able to download me, and so you can kick my butt if you wanted to. Don't kick my wife's butt. Just download her, and you can be my wife and beat up people with her. I don't know. But if you'd like to go and you know, heck, friend me on the PlayStation, you know, just I usually, when I get strangers, I'll be like, okay, I don't know, somebody wants to be my friend on the PlayStation. So I'm, you know, if I don't know you, that's okay. I'll probably still let you be on a friend of mine on PlayStation. Who knows, we'll be able to play something together. But yeah, there's stuff I've put up to available download. If you go for Pastor Pack, PAC, you can find Philip. Philip has been creating up a storm, and he's got a lot of fun things that he's created that he has shared online that you can download. So you happen to be playing that game, and it is cross-platform. There's a lot of fun things that you can do and participate with. Anyways, let's get into some of this news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Now, I did watch some of this on YouTube. I mean, it was going on all weekend. It's like a big convention, the 2024 Summer Game Fest. And they put some spotlight and did some game announcements, some stuff that I don't know why they're making it, like Lego Horizon Adventures, which is coming to PlayStation 5. So the Horizon Zero Dawn and Forbidden West, there's two of these games. Now we get a Lego game of this. And the reaction was like, people were like, oh, okay, cool. It's a Lego game. That's strange. You know, it's very unexpected to get a Lego game based off of this franchise. I mean, the games are pretty good. I mean, I have only played part of the first one. I haven't played the second one, but, you know, I've heard a lot of praise on these. I had a hard time really getting into it. I mean, I was interested in the characters, but I got distracted and started playing something else. I really would like to go back and play Horizon Zero Dawn again sometime. Sort of like Deathloop. I started playing that, but I don't like to have getting caught in a time loop. That's why I haven't played Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask and really gone through all of it, because it's the same. I don't know, something, it just doesn't appeal to me. But I started playing Deathloop because it looked like it was going to be kind of a fun shooter. But now I've gotten to the point where I've got to try to figure my own way through. And I'm like, it's going to keep looping, and I got to do certain, what's going to happen? I don't know. So I was like, you know what? I think I want to play something else. I'll come back to it. That kind of happens with me. And like, I've come back to playing Kingdom Hearts, and I've almost caught up to where I had left off before, where I'm fighting with Ursula. But I've got to get to the second round of Ursula, where she grows giant because she's got the trident. And I got distracted by playing with a wrestling game, which I haven't really been playing the wrestling game. I've more been creating with the wrestling game. So, But it's kind of fun to create when y'all have time. I don't really seem to have a whole lot of time to play here anymore, and that's most of the time what I really want to do. But anyways, something that I am getting excited about, Quidditch Champions, which is launching this year. It's going to be on Steam, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox September 3rd. It's a Quidditch game. And we haven't had one since, and I think I have it on my computer, or I probably still have it. I bought like a Harry Potter set a long time ago that I think had the first three games from based off of movies. The PC versions, which were different from the ones that I was playing on my old Xbox. I would like to be able to get those that might be playable on, let's say, for instance, my PlayStation 3 that I still have. It would be nice to be able to, if those kind of got remastered or re-released or something, because they were fun, those old Harry Potter games. But I had for PC, and I had it had a Quidditch World Cup, which was, you know, a little bit too easy, but it was fun. So I used to play that one. So kind of exciting to have a Quidditch Champions game come along. There's a sequel to No More Room in Hell, which basically means it's a zombie game. Of course, there was a teaser trailer released for Star Wars Outlaws. We already know what's going on with that. Well, here's something I kind of realized what it was once it started showing, but I didn't know it was coming. Sid Meier's Civilization VII is coming to consoles in 2025 from developer Firaxis Games with 2K. And I did play the sixth one. The last few games that I've played, mainly the Civilization Revolution, that you can still play if you have the PlayStation Network. I forgot what the account that allows you to play retro games. But with my account set up, I can play old games. And I have played with the Revolution game, which I believe was released for PlayStation 3. And that is just fun. It's fun to just sit down for a couple hours and just play through a quick game. It's like playing a board game of Revolution, of Civilization. And I've really enjoyed that one. And 6, I played through once, and I think I just got confused, and I didn't really like it. Maybe I need to try playing it again. But here comes Civilization 7. And if you've never played these, it's basically you can go through the beginning of history and do it your own way. Choose a people group. You know, you can even be the Americans. The start of the dawn of time was being Americans. But you basically get a tribe, you create a nation, you deal with other nations, you can go to war, you can trade, you know, all kinds of different things. And they're really just kind of fun. You develop and build cities, and it's really kind of fun, and there's some strategy involved, and there's ways to win at the game while in Revolution. I can't remember if in the numbered games if they put into ways to win. So a lot of these I do also have on PC, and I haven't really necessarily sat down and played with some of the other Civilization games. But I even had I have a disc that doesn't work anymore where I had the original Civilization, which is fun to play. And it's amazing to see how the games have developed and what more we can do with a game. But yeah, so Civilization 7 coming next year, and I am curious to check it out. It'll be on consoles. One of the games that might be a little easier to work on a PC, but they did a really good job of Civilization Revolution for the PlayStation 3. So it worked out pretty nicely. We do have Dragon Ball Sparkling Zero, which has a release date set for October the 11th. And it's an anime spinoff game revealing destructive gameplay for characters like Goku and Frieza and Boo and Vegeta. And it looks like someone will have to let me know. I've never really gotten into Dragon Ball Z, and I've been kind of curious about the previous skins they released, but it seems like they're trying to retell some of the story of the Dragon Ball Z franchise through video games, which I'd be interested to do that. And I think that's what that last game is. I just haven't played it. I think through my PlayStation account, I think it is available for me to play. But a new game is coming out. Also, it's hard to get excited about this one unless you have a MetaQuest 3 or something to play a VR game. But Batman Arkham Shadow, they really had a trailer for that. So, yes, it's specifically a VR game. So, yeah, I won't be playing that one. I think most of us can't afford these VR equipment. They announced some new characters for Street Fighter 6, including some Fatal Fury characters and also M. Bison making a return. And I think Alina seems to be a character from a previous Street Fighter game. But yeah, Street Fighter 6 getting some new characters here. Blumhouse has expanded from going from making horror movies to going to make some games. And also while there, the Blumhouse guy, I forgot what his first name is, but his last name is, like, I believe, Blum. But it did say that they are working, of course, on the sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's, for those of you who enjoyed that. There's a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Reader's Rewind game, which It's an old style beat 'em up game with the Power Rangers. So those of you who are Power Ranger fans, I'm sure you're going to be super excited about that. Mecha Break is, yeah, Mecha Break. That's make it break is almost like what you're saying, but it's Mecha Break, like a mecha, like a mech. It's hard to really say that. So there's a beta test about coming around in this August for this new game where basically you have a big mech to pilot. The First Descendant, the character I'm seeing here looks pretty horrific, but it's a free to play sci-fi looter shooter. It's set to release on July the 2nd for PC, Steam, PS4, PS5, Xbox, you know, everything. Alan Wake 2, and this actually has already been released, but they did a reveal for a DLC called Night Springs. I have not gotten to play Alan Wake 2 yet. That's on my list of things I want to do, but I've got Final Fantasy 16 I want to play. I want to play Kingdom Hearts, and right now I'm playing around with a wrestling game. I will get Alan Wake 2 eventually, but they've released some DLC. Night Springs, if you are fans of Alan Wake, you will know that is the Twilight Zone style series that exists in the game world that Alan Wake has written some episodes for, and there were episodes that you could watch during the first Alan Wake. But now they got DLC titled that, and I've seen there's some crossover, you know, what's her name from Control, and I've played through that game a couple of times. I really enjoyed Control. Jesse Faden, I believe, character from Control. There is some footage I've seen where she's in it. Some of you may have already played this DLC. Well, I haven't, and it has been released. There's video online if you're going to watch the whole playthrough, but I don't want to do that because I want to not be spoiled for what playing Alan Wake 2. Skate, which is an official update from M Corp here. There's some console play testing, a new, of course, skateboarding game. Apparently, you can climb buildings and kinetically rolling around as you every inch of a city is open to you. Something called Valorant, 6 key things to know about its console launch. There is a video about it, but it's coming to consoles. Whatever Valorant is, it's coming to PS5 and Xbox Series S. There is an animated series of Among Us coming. Yeah. And also something called Outer Sloth. I'm not sure what that is. And there's a picture at IGN where you can see a look of an animated series for Among Us, which Inner Sloth, I believe, was the company that made this. And then so Outer Sloth, I don't know what's going on with that. But there was a cinematic reveal trailer shown for Dune Awakening, which I believe is a... Didn't we talk about this being a further... it's a more Dune story. It's like a prequel series. I believe this has come up before, and we were talking about it. A sequel to Kingdom Come Deliverance is coming along. Slitherhead from Silent Hill creator Kichiro Toyama. It's an action-focused title from Bokeh Game Studio, which has the nightmare creatures from the Silent Hill series while giving players a few more tools to progress. This is supposed to launch on November 8th. We've got Delta Force Hawk Ops. Looks to be a team shooter. And then there's this other weird thing, Killer Bean. And it's a tongue-in-cheek action game where you're a bean with arms and legs. And a gun. It looks silly and fun. I think it's going to be interesting. Then there's something called Wander Stop, which is from Annapurna Interactive. And the Stanley Parable creator, David Rendon, is making this. It's an interesting thing. It's like you kind of set up a town, a little farming town, but it seems like there's some other things going on. Like your quiet life you start to set up has something strange going on beneath the surface. And it's called Wander Stop. Also, Pal World. I've been hearing a lot of stuff about Pal World. I don't think it's available for the PlayStation, so I haven't been able to do anything. It's like a parody of Pokemon games, and they've been doing some test launches, and people have been kind of getting to try it out, and they are talking about a full release very soon. Monster Hunter Wilds is going to cross-play across other platforms. I haven't played any of the Monster Hunter games. If you have, though, you might be excited. Kenetsugama, Path of the God, and this is coming out in July for PC and consoles. We've also got Phantom Blade Zero. Looks like you got some weird monsters you get to fight. It's an action game of sorts. Very interesting looking game. Might be kind of one of those challenging type of things. But yeah, those are some games that were announced over Summer Games Fest. So a lot of different new things. Part of me, when I was watching, I was like, oh, can we learn something about the third part of the Final Fantasy VII franchise or reboot, you know? But yeah, we're not going to hear anything for a few years on that, even though I would really, really like to. Something else I would like to tell you about, though, is about Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find a big logo for Dubby. Go in there. If you happen to be a gamer, because heck, we were just talking about games. This is powder to drink mixes that will not give you the jitters, but will give you the energy to continue playing. Lots of different flavors. You can even get yourself a little bottle to mix it in. And you get a discount if you go through that link right there. And plus, I get a little kickback. It does help support the show. So don't go along and check it out.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
All right, I just got a pair of trailers here. Venom the Last Dance.
You should probably know that I have a really dark and unpredictable side to me.
Stop speaking.
I'm giving you a chance, sweetie.
Say when.
When?
What are you?
We are.
We are Venom!
We are.
Venom!
No.
Oh!
Yeah, we.
We
are. Venom. We're gonna need to work on that.
Delicious! You take me to all the finest places!
I need tired love.
We always knew it was impossible. Ground control to Major Tom. That we were alone in the universe.
Take your protein pills and your helmet on.
And it's our job to make sure that remains a secret.
You mean it?
No!
Lady Frost!
Mrs. Chess!
Hello!
Has to be a reason they're after us.
Eddie, my home, has found us.
Jesus Christ!
There's an army coming that cannot be beaten.
As long as Venom lives, everyone, everything.
You may not make it out of this alive, buddy.
Eddie, the time has come.
Be honest with me. How fast do you think you can get that thing to go without killing it?
Only one way to find out!
Venom the Last Dance, and I'm going to have to do some editing for some language that actually is in the trailer, it looks interesting. I am wondering if, because normally, you know, we don't cover an R-rated movie, and with the Wolverine Deadpool movie coming out, and Disney going ahead and releasing that one, and although this is coming out through Sony Pictures, I'm wondering if they ain't going to push it up to an R. I suppose the possibility is there, so I have been wondering about that, but we will see. What it ends up getting rated. It might be another PG-13 because, you know, it's a Spider-Verse thing, but, you know, they have been pushing, like, for Kraven the Hunter to do an R-rated film of that, and so we'll just see what's going to happen. So, it's hard to say. Okay, but there's also a trailer here for Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is an animated series coming to Paramount Plus based on the Mutant Mayhem film style. So, here we go.
All right, boys. Let's do this.
Noise
mutants
noise.
Are the coolest.
But in a big, but in a bang.
Yeah. There's Leo the leader.
We need a plan.
Raph the muscle.
They've got a lot of anger to work out.
Donnie the smart one.
I'm not the IT guy.
You do have that vibe.
And you. What are you doing again?
I bring a certain je ne sais quoi.
Party over here.
One, two, three.
in a new series exclusively on Paramount Plus.
I need new butts to kick.
The greatest, bravest teenage brothers are forced to fight solo.
I've never done anything like this without my brothers.
You have fallen into my traps, for I am Bishop.
What, like one name? That's kind of sick.
Mechazoids attack!
Okay, machine. You want to do this?
I think we should talk about it before we do, you know?
Let's go!
From the studio that brought you TMNT Mutant Mayhem.
All mutants must be destroyed.
Did you just say you want to exterminate us?
I have to find my brothers. I have to save them.
Comes a new tale where the turtles must reunite to save mutant kind.
Even if we run into trouble, there's nothing we can't handle together.
What is that thing supposed to be?
Someone should go check it out.
Not it! What? Oh.
Don't miss Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the epic 12-episode event, streaming August 9th, only on Paramount+.
I forgot about the party. I don't have my costume.
Well, technically your whole, like, thing is a costume.
Now, I did enjoy the movie. I did have some problems with it. I mean, for example, that they are supposed to have learned everything by watching, like, Jackie Chan movies or something. Really? I mean, the origin, the more we get movies that are getting away from, like, the original idea of what they did, the more ridiculous origins get. I mean, the original comics, it's kind of odd, and that's what we did in the movies in 1990. It was a very similar origin to that, and that was sounded almost ridiculously plausible. The most believable origin is still from the 1987 cartoon, where it was being an alien mutagen, and that we started with Hamato Yoshi as being a human. A ninja master, and you know that still made some sort of sense. But the further away we get from that, the more ridiculous the origin is becoming, to where it's like, that doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even sound feasible. Did you learn by watching TV? Seriously? I mean, the last movie set we got, oh yeah, we read a book. Well, how'd you learn to read? So yeah, but I'm still gonna watch it. I mean, the movie was fun. I did enjoy it. So I will check out this series coming here in September. We've got another look at Inside Out 2. I'm still really not interested in this film, but we'll listen to the audio just because you might be.
Riley, how was camp?
Come on, let's stay up on!
It was good.
She goes away for 3 days and all we get is good?
She goes away for 3 days and all we get is good?
Yeah, sounds right.
Ask the Nantes.
Back to the game.
Riley is officially a teenager now. You aren't packed yet?
I'm the worst!
Overreact much?
I barely touched it.
Let the professional handle this.
I'm too gross to go anywhere ever again! Well, that's a preview of the next 10 years.
On June 14th.
I'm Anxiety. I am just such a huge fan of yours.
We're Riley's new emotions.
Wow!
Remember when we all finally came up to headquarters?
Nostalgia.
That was like 30 seconds ago, nostalgia.
Yeah, those were the days.
The Feel Everything movie.
Feel all five!
Bring it on!
No, anger!
Arrives in theaters.
Walkie-talkies. Check, check, check. Can you hear me? I gotta press the button. Go for joy. Copy that. Over. Oh, I love them. Just don't look down and keep moving. She'll be okay, right?
50-50. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2.
There's a part two?
We're going!
Rated PG. Only theaters June 14th. Tickets available now.
So June 14th is coming up actually this Friday, so that film will come out. I'm not planning to see it. It feels too much like they did a lot of the same thing, you know, like, oh, look, I already saw this movie. Here it is again. So I'll try to keep an open mind. I'll keep an eye on what people say about the film. But I really, Pixar and Disney films don't get me excited the way they did just even a few years ago. The world has changed, and I don't know that I have, but well, I guess it's. Well, I don't know. Perhaps I have. I don't know. It's hard to say. But the world has changed, and I have not gone along with it. We'll just narrow it down to that. But I do have some special audio I still wanted to share with you. I found stuff from Planet Comic Con in 2023 that I never got around to sharing that I wanted to share with you. And I've got the voice cast from some Final Fantasy VII, occasionally games, and also Advent Children for the English version. And I can't remember who all was in the cast. I believe Rachel Lee Cook was the voice of Tifa with an F, pardon me. I did recognize the guy. He's been a voice of Superman and some animated things, and I cannot think of his name, but he voiced, I think, Cloud. But they had three of these cast members there, and they're still, I think, touring around and doing conventions. But they sat down and shared some information, and I've got that audio, and I have never shared it with you as far as I can remember. So I figured that would be fun to share with you, because we're talking about video games after the Games Fest. Summer Games Fest. So I thought this would be an appropriate time to share it. And after the words, of course, I will be back to wrap up the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For Final Fantasy! All right, let's bring on
Kingdom Hearts.
She's an AEW professional wrestler, Leva Bay.
Hello, planet Comic-Con Kansas City! There we go. I see a lot of faces out there. Are you guys ready for some fun?
Yeah!
Have you guys been having fun? Who's been here for all 3 days? Who's going to be here for all 3 days? Yeah! Who's here for today only? Who's here for 2 days? Oh! There's actually a few of you! Awesome! Awesome! All right, enough of the jaw-jacking. Are you guys ready to bring out the actors? Yeah! I love this Saturday afternoon vibe! You guys are awesome! This will be a Q&A, so there is a mic over here. Don't have to get up yet, but when we call for you guys, go ahead and line up. This is a great vibe. You guys are rocking it and I'm loving it. So let's keep that positive vibe going. Make the questions friendly. Don't ask anything silly or controversial. I don't think there will be any controversial because it means Final Fantasy. Who doesn't love Final Fantasy? As well, so listen, these actors are awesome. They are so multi-talented, right? Yeah. All right, let me stop jaw-jacking. Let me start bringing them out here onto stage. First and foremost, ladies first, you know her as Tifa Rachel Lee Cole! What an ovation. You can sit wherever you want. Choice is yours. You guys, are you having a good time so far?
Absolutely.
Awesome. What a great con.
I was worried I'd come out, there'd be like six people here. So good to see you guys. Thank you.
Of course they're here. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have the antagonist of the series. You know, flowing hair. I want to bring out George Newbern, who is Samurai! How are you? Is this for Instagram, TikTok? What were you filming? Hello,
ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir. It's not for, I'll hand it off to my kids who can do social media. I'm terrible at it, but yeah. Thank you.
Well, you can film all you want. Last but not least, I want to bring out the man with the big sword. He plays Cloud Strife. Bring out Steve Burton.
Thank you so much. I do have a big sword. Just not with me. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, America, Steve Burton.
Hi. Hi, George. How are you, buddy?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
This is the first time we've all three been together, so this is awesome.
Is it really?
Yes. Yes. Can you talk to the microphone?
Yes, correct.
Thank you so much.
Rachel and I have done one, and I don't remember the town. Do you remember the city?
No, I don't.
It looked like this. Yeah. It was square.
A lot like this, actually.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're happy to be here.
Yep. That's amazing.
Thank you guys for coming out.
Yes.
Appreciate your support.
You will never be a memory. You will never be a memory. What?
I asked Rachel, but how is the con treating you guys? Are you guys doing well, enjoying the fun?
Super fun.
The people
are lovely here in Kansas City.
Yeah,
everybody is so nice here. It is next level. Yep. And as a fellow Midwesterner, I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's Midwestern with a little Southern warmth. Exactly. It's a nice combo. I love it.
And cold outside.
Yeah.
No, but it's great. George, I don't know if Rachel's done a lot of these conventions. Have you done a lot of these conventions?
Not enough. Let's keep it going.
Not enough. Okay. Great. George has done 100 million.
I have not. I've done like 12.
12.
Maybe 20. Maybe 20.
This year?
No, God, over the last 6 years, five, 6 years.
Something. So it's funny because we all, have done the game and the voices for so long, but I met George for the first time in September, 6 months ago, pretty much, which was crazy. In Arizona, that was my first convention. So this is my third one, so thank you for having me. And now I'll shut up.
We want to hear you guys talk. This is why we're all here. I didn't realize this was kind of a new thing for you, convention scene. What about, you've been doing it, you said, for?
We do it probably about 6 or 7 years and a couple of years, but this last year, since since COVID, there's been a big pent-up demand, I guess, for Sephiroth and Superman or something, but I've been pretty busy this year, so it's good.
And you? I know. I think we've been on conventions before together.
Yes, I knew you from something. I don't know if I've just seen you in something or seen you kick somebody's ass.
Smackdown. That's.
I think we might have been Stockton Con. Did you?
Yes,
I think we were in a band together at one point. So yeah,
wrestling thing. Wrestling.
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of like inner fangirl about trying to be cool about it. I was like.
You're so cool. What I remember at Stockton Con is that there was a band right outside my hotel room window who played
all
until
night.
Like 3 hours of the night. I did not sleep at all. Nobody here cares about that. I'm very sorry.
So I actually do want to ask Kansas City, what's up with your weather?
It's amazing.
Isn't it like 70 degrees on Wednesday
it's
and then
awesome.
Snowing Thursday? What is up with this, Kansas?
Missouri.
Yeah, man. Golly.
Were you guys prepared for this weather?
No,
I was not.
I forgot my coat, actually.
Oh, no.
But it's okay. I like the cold. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, so it's nothing new.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't mind the cold at all. So, just not for 5 months. 2 days is good.
Do all of you live in California now, or?
California. Yeah.
Correct.
So even California's having wonky weather right now, I've noticed.
My gosh, going
for real.
Nuts right now.
Yeah, it's the end of the world, for sure.
It's definitely the end of the world.
Something's
wild,
happening.
Wild. All right, guys, I've been rambling.
I can't believe we came all the way here to talk about the weather.
No, I know. Let's talk about some Final Fantasy stuff.
I know, right? Right. Do you guys have questions?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't sound very confident. Well, there you go. Well, there's a mic right over here. So if you guys want to line up, ask your questions. Because we want to know more about these wonderful actors and the characters they play.
Are you guys best friends or something? I'm over here.
I thought I wanted to talk to you.
I mean, Tifa should be over here, bro. I don't know what you're doing next to her.
So, actually, this is a question for Rachel.
What's happening here? Sephiroth,
well,
whatever.
Guys, she has a question. It's actually for me. Be quiet.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
What was your initial feeling when you read the script for the TV show Perception? Oh, thank you. Whew, that's a relief because I did not read the entire script for this game and I was like, oh dear. Bad answer. I really loved the pilot for Perception, which if you guys don't know is a crime show for TNT that myself and Eric McCormick were lucky enough to star in for 3 whole seasons. We solved a lot of crimes and sometimes 2 an episode. Which was great. Those are highlights for me. I remember thinking that it was pretty crazy that they had me doing these wild stunts, like my character jumps off the second story of a building and other things, and I thought, I really hope we don't have to do this week after week because I'm not very coordinated. But I was just excited to work with Eric McCormick, who's a dear friend of mine to this day, and damn, he's good in that show. He really just sets the bar in terms of preparedness, creativity, collaboration, and just, God, he's hilarious. So yeah, that was my very loving feeling about that whole experience, actually.
Well, you were pretty amazing too, so.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It was very loud.
Hi. What's your name and what's your question?
My name is Mari Kitt, and I knew all 3 of you as actors. Steve in particular, I grew up watching General Hospital and before that as well.
How was he?
Amazing. Okay. So what else am I going to say? He could beat me up. Have you ever watched General Hospital? Don't mess with Jason Morgan. But my question is, how did you all find yourselves in voice acting versus being actors on screen? Because they're kind of 2 very different things.
I was just talking.
Okay, great. I'll start.
So, you know,
go ahead, George. This guy's a real voice actor.
I am not.
This is the only job I've ever had as a voice actor, is Cloud Strife. The story goes originally that it was for Kingdom Hearts. I got a call to come in to kind of audition, but the job was already kind of mine. The Last Castle came out around the same time, and the story goes that Mark Ruffalo's agent sent it to Disney for Mark to play Cloud. And they saw the movie, and they saw me, and they said, hey, we want this guy to play Cloud. And that's kind of how it happened, and I've been doing it until we all got fired. Yeah, so, but this is the only voice acting I've done, and it's been amazing, and it's just been really cool journey, because I didn't know how cool Cloud was until I came to these conventions. It's amazing. George?
I got called in to do, I used to have to audition for everything in my life, and forever probably will, but for this thing, I got the call just to do the dub, I had a 3-hour session to dub this Japanese character in this game. I think it was before it was popular or something. I don't know. But I just went and did it, and then they kept asking me back and asking me back and asking me back. Then it kind of, the franchise, I guess, got bigger and bigger. So I didn't have to audition for it, but out of the gate, this kind of job is not easy in the sense that you don't really know what the hell is going on. And matching Japanese, you know, mouth, the mouth movements, it doesn't necessarily make any sense, the tone of it or the emotion of it. It's like, who am I fighting? Am I giving or receiving? Or that's about it. So it's a strange job, but when you see it all put together, it's fascinating. It's a whole art form that I don't know much about. The whole gaming world is still strange to me. I don't understand it. I'm not good at it. But I love being an actor in it, but I don't know how to do it. You know, so.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
The question is just like
how'd you get that job?
Like you, George, I was asked to audition, and I had done minor, like just smaller voiceover gigs. I
did like Batman Beyond a little bit, but didn't have a lot of experience. I can't remember if I worked on a game called Yakuza a little bit. Nice.
That's right.
Sweet. Hi, Mom, right? My mom loves Yakuza. People don't know that. But yeah, I auditioned, and I remember just thinking that it was sort of strange that, like, as actors were really striving generally to try to do something different. Like, oh, what did you bring to this audition that maybe the other people who came in the room didn't? But in this instance, we were played the original tracks by the Japanese actors, and then sort of asked to mimic their performance in terms of just intention and, you know, exact and timing. Yeah. Is really specific. And so it's strange because you're basically just going like, okay, I'm just going to try to honor what this person established and follow that intentionality and just sort of hope that it works. And it's strange because I don't make a career as a mimic, and I don't think that I bring the exact same thing that the original actor did. But I loved having her work as a template throughout, and I feel like we created the character together, but she forged the path, and I'm very grateful to that.
It sort of makes your question about voice acting as opposed to just on-screen acting.
Oh, yeah.
Acting is acting, and if you get the opportunity to have an audition to do something voiceover or on-screen, you just go, and you're an actor, and the voiceover job is going to be without pants, and the one on camera, you're probably wearing pants. So you don't have, so no one sees you when you do voiceover. It's very anonymous in many ways. So,
That's how we all do it. I auditioned for Tifa and Aerith. That's maybe something people don't know, and ended up as luckily Tifa.
There you go.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Hi, what's your name and what's your question?
Howdy, I'm Alex. I'm wondering what part of the personality for each of your characters did you enjoy the most? So,
part of what?
Their personality.
Oh, I don't know if Cloud really has one. So, you know, it's funny, as an actor, you always try to bring something to the table. And I brought nothing to Cloud at all. And I tried to do more, and they were like, no, too much. Too much. I go, too much. I barely say, just not interested. Yes, that's perfect. You know what I mean? It was like, I could never do any, like, give them any type of, you know, humor or personality that was bigger than what you guys have seen. So it was just really, they were super conservative in how you played and how I played Cloud. They're like, too much. Dial it back. Please. We'll fire you. Just whisper. You're fine. So that's kind of, you know, that was my experience with it. You were more animated, huh?
That's so funny. I did not know. I mean, it's a very understated performance.
Yeah, they kept understating it more. They just like dial it back or less. Less is more. Less
Steve,
is more.
Less of you, Steve. Less Steve. More.
Why is he here? Yep. Is he still here?
Yeah.
But you're pretty animated. Sephiroth is pretty crazy.
You know, the hardest part for me for Sephiroth is that I kind of grew up singing as a tenor my whole life. So
is that Luke Bryan or Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog.
So Sephiroth is he's a badass, and the Japanese actor, his vocal range is just lives pretty deep, and sort of just he just talks like that. So I had to lean into that in my voice, and it hurts. I mean, it's not, you can support it, but it's still, if it's lower than you normally speak it after a 5-hour session, I just go home and take a couple of Advil and lie down. So to me, the hardest part was just literally the technical part of being so low for all my vocal cords. And don't get it wrong, whatever you're going to say.
She forgot the question.
That's just a little bit.
I did too.
What was the question?
Part of your personality? Because you said something about your personality, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so what part? So that had to do with your personality. Cool.
Yeah. You're right. Drunk, right? And you're right. I'm just drunk.
I just couldn't remember the question, George. I'm sorry.
It was the wrong answer to the right question. I'm sorry. Go.
That was an interesting answer. I'll tell you that. I'd say the part that I liked was just, I mean, the fight scenes are so cool. And Tifa is just such a, like, incredible and invincible warrior. She's just a total icon. And just to get to play someone with that level of kindness, but also just full tilt badassery, like, I'm never going to get cast in that part of this. This doesn't get to do that.
So it's thrilling. It's such a gift.
Thank you all.
Thanks,
Jenny. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Is that a golf clap? What's happening? Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. George Newbern, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Trevor. And first of all, I love Steve in Last Castle. That was the first movie I saw you in.
Oh, thank you, Trevor. Appreciate that. Thank you.
What I wanted to know was, with the Final Fantasy VII remake coming out, and you guys not being a part of that.
Oh, I'm in it. They're not in it.
Sorry. What was something that you wish you could have done with the characters as far as Final Fantasy, and especially with not being a part of Kingdom Hearts 3, since Final Fantasy was notably absent in that?
Is this news to you guys, too? I'm finding this out right now in real time.
I'm confused. We definitely were not in the new remake. And how do we?
Is there anything that you would have liked to do with your character in all the work that we've done? Was there anything that you didn't do that you wanted to do? And we're in Kansas City, George. Thank you.
Right. I personally did what they told me to do, and I didn't feel like. I think I left it on the field. I think I left everything on the field.
You know, it's
totally did.
Right?
You?
It's interesting because when we get called in to do video games and all those things, you don't have much of a script. You kind of have one-liners here and there. For me, the experience of doing Adventureland in the movie was the best experience because we actually had an arc and you could actually play something like we liked.
There was a narrative story we could follow and understand what was happening.
And it was cool because we would do 8-hour sessions, 4-hour sessions, or 8-hour sessions. And sometimes with my stuff with George, sometimes he'd be able to record first and I could actually hear his voice. But then there's times where you weren't available and I had to, and you could hear a cloud or something. So it was, the whole process was pretty interesting. I wish it was kind of where you see, like, when they do Shrek, when they're all in a circle acting with each other, because that would have been fun, right?
Completely.
But, I mean, we were just in a room, a cold, dark room.
Cold room.
So cold.
By ourselves for 8 hours. And we did the whole movie. But, the movie turned out amazing. So that was probably the best experience for me to do the movie. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in. Yes, she was in. Sorry, George. Come on.
That's a really good answer, Steve.
Thank you.
That's so true.
Really?
Yeah. That was the thing that resembled what we're used to doing the most. That's for sure. So otherwise, everything's so out of context. I met someone at a convention who said, "I said, like, what's a moment from Tifa that you liked?" And he goes, "Remember that scene where you were in a tree?" And I was like, There was no tree in my booth. I didn't know I was in a tree ever. Apparently I'm in a tree. And so it's like I really want to watch and play the game and all of these things so I can have the experience that you all have had. But it's been a joy bringing it to you, obviously, from my small perspective.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Question.
Hi. What's your name and what's your question?
My name is Jordan, and I was just wondering, what was it like seeing the final product after all those hours, sitting alone in the booth, doing all the voice lines, and just, like, feelings of the aftermath, seeing everyone also, like, how much they enjoyed that work, too?
Yeah, because we had a premiere of the movie, and that's where I think I met you the first time.
Yes.
And that's probably the last time that we've seen each other.
Yeah.
100 years ago.
I think it was 2010. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, but, it was awesome. I mean, it was a big deal. And the movie, I feel it was before its time with the digitally, whatever you want to call CGI stuff. It was amazing. But they really did it right when we had that premiere. It was really cool, a lot of fun. And seeing the finished product is always great because, again, all we're doing is sitting in that booth for so long, reading lines over and over again to fit the already animated mouth, which is pretty crazy because, like, when George touched on it earlier, we had to really match. So sometimes somebody from Japan would always be on the phone live in the back. They'd have somebody from Square, somebody a translator. So, whatever line we would say, you could have different intentions of a certain line. And if it didn't fit, they'd either have to shorten it, take a couple words out until it fit, and they go, okay, we got that one. We can move on to the next 1,000 lines you have to do. But it was it was cool to see the finished product for sure.
I have so much respect for the editors and art directors and the actual painters and the animators. They do all the fine tuning. You know, we're just a small part of that. You know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. What's your name and what's your question?
Hello. My name is Cyrus.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all for coming to Kansas City, and thank you for performances in the movie and the remake.
Thank you.
I have a question for Rachel about Tifa. So Tifa is a character of amazing strength. She has a limit break called Dolphin Flurry, where at the very end, she'll do like an uppercut, and a dolphin will come out of the ground. Like, kind of out of nowhere.
Wait, hold on.
But you did not know this.
Dolphin Flurry.
Wait, where is this in? Is this in a game?
It's in the original game and the remake. This is an unfair question, I know.
Oh, my God. Are there drugs involved? The dolphin?
Does everybody in this room know about Dolphin Flurry? Is this, you guys know this?
Wow.
So,
cue the dolphins. Huh?
Yeah, cue the dolphins.
I think nobody knows where it comes from. That's hilarious. It's an unfair question, but if you had to guess, where do you think that dolphin comes from? Because it pops up even in the city.
The ocean?
Yeah.
The ocean. So what does it mean when the thing comes out? What does it mean? What? So it's just like to give you extra.
It's like a finisher.
It's a finishing move.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's also the element of surprise. It's style points.
Yeah, style points.
It's creative. Well, where does it come from?
We do this again.
What pops up for his finishing move?
Yeah, what's that?
Like a gopher or what? Like...
Thank you,
Scott.
So
does anybody know? Just give me some Sephiroth stuff because I haven't played the game. What happens? That's incredible.
Oh, Sephiroth?
Yeah, that's something that I wouldn't know. Anyone?
Ever heard of Supernova?
Oh, what happens? A supernova comes out of the ground?
No, not a supernova.
Nothing comes out of the ground.
It's not a car, George.
What, George?
In the original Final Fantasy VII game, Sephiroth literally blows up the sun as his final move.
Well, yeah, of course I do that. Something else, you know. Something
that
else.
Feels like an overreaction.
Sorry. What's your question?
For my question.
What's your question?
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. No, well, Advent Children, when you guys watched the final product, did you guys have any favorite parts from the movie?
Favorite parts? I don't know. I mean, George touched on it. I thought it looked amazing. Like, it's a beautiful movie. And I remember just, like, I don't know if it was wolves or something was in there, but I just remember that each hair was blowing in the wind. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, the detail was awesome. So one of my worst parts of that movie was a motorcycle crash. Because I had to string together 50 sounds of me rolling across the concrete. And I hated doing those. I hated the fighting, the noises. I like, you can't have any inhibitions. Like, if you're self-conscious, like, you just have to go, okay, I'm doing it. And, you know, we had to string together. Like, they'd go, okay, we're going to do three at a time. And you're like, right? And there's three. And then you have 50 more. And then it sounds ridiculous when you're doing it. So...
It's so good. It's like, okay, that you're hit in the stomach and you feel like, okay, we just buzz it. Is it like a sharp pain or is it more like a blunt object? These are different sounds.
You have to ask.
It's true.
So, my favorite parts were the flying fighting sequences with Cloud. They're so beautiful. You know, however, the cinematography and the art direction, I just thought it was so gorgeous and scary and
cool. And your hair was amazing.
I know, thank you. Conditioner and yes. Actually takes a whole bottle of conditioner for my hair.
Sephiroth.
Leave it in for about 5 hours.
Good.
We'll rinse that thing out.
Really
yeah,
good.
Sure.
Really good. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's not what you asked, but it's okay. We're here.
Hi. What's your name? What's your question?
So my name is Seamus, and my question is, growing up, me and my brother had a lot of standout memories of Final Fantasy VII. One of which is arguing over who's better, Tifa or Aerith. Team Tifa, by the way.
Thank you.
Team Tifa, hashtag Tifa.
Tell your brother that you are correct.
Oh, he knows, don't worry. Anyway, my question is, are there any memories that are really stand out about the whole time you guys were playing those characters?
I mean, it was just a wholly unique experience. It's really interesting when you go into the booth and you're trusted with this role, you're mimicking performance, which is something I had never sort of been actively asked to do before, which is really just an interesting exercise. The thing that I remember the most, and this is a little bit strange, but you do like three versions of your take on like what you think they want sort of in a row, and then they go, okay, hold on. And then they just talk, and you're just alone there with your thoughts for some time, for anywhere from like 2.5 to like 6.5 minutes. And they just talk with Japan about, did you do good enough? Does it match? And you just sit there. So weirdly enough, I remember not performing as much as I remember performing in those moments. But what feels really special about it is really the now, is being able to talk to people about Tifa and what she means to them. Like, honestly, this means more to me than the doing did, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
Thank you.
It's also kind of cool, you think about a piece of art, when someone makes a painting, they make a painting and people go to a museum and look at it and go, oh, I don't really. But we perform in a piece of art that gets shared with you, and you play with that art, and we are part of it with you. It's kind of an interesting
thought. You know? I'm part of a fight he had with his brother.
Oh, really? Right. That's so cool. Goes on. Your voice lives on, and they manipulate your voice in a way that they want to play the game. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I've always loved video games and played video games, and I knew Final Fantasy, but I never knew the impact of this. I had no idea, because I was always doing other stuff acting-wise, and voicing wasn't my main thing. You know, I just kind of got it, and you know, I was working somewhere else all the time, and they're like, hey, can you just stop in for 8 hours and do this video game? I'm like, sure, yeah, great. And then I would never see it or hear of it, you know, until really I started doing these conventions. And it's just so, like Rachel said, it's just so cool how it's impacted so many people's lives in a positive manner, which I really love and appreciate, so...
To follow up on that, I am actually a big gamer myself, and Final Fantasy VII was one that got me into RPGs, that type of style of gaming. So when the movie came out, it was such a big deal, because I don't know of anyone else, but I had never seen a movie based on a video game like that, especially an RPG. So that was kind of mind-blowing, and it was a continuation. It wasn't a remake of the game. It was like, here's what happened after the game. And so I don't know. I'm sure a lot of you guys felt the same way. It was really, really mind-blowing to be like, oh, wow, they continue living on. This is, their story continues. And then you guys show up in other video games, and it's just, it kept the franchise alive and the characters alive. And I think that's why several years later, you know, when we're all adults, we're all like, still just gravitate to you guys, because you brought life to a game that, when we played it, there were no voices, you know, and...
Yeah, that's what people say a lot, is like, you guys gave this person voice, like this character a voice, which is pretty unique. So,
and I'll be honest, this might be a little controversial, but you guys, in my opinion, are the voice. Like, I love the remake. The remake's a lot of fun, but I feel like a lot of the remake plays homage to what you guys have done. And then spins it just a little bit to, you know, since I don't think it was a replacement. It was just, all right, this is a new generation of children and new generation of gamers. Let's update the graphics, update this, and present what is a loved franchise to a new generation. So you guys are a huge part of that history. And I think this is why you see this outpouring of love, because it means so much to a lot of us geeks. That's so cool. Thank you for that. Thank you for explaining how it's different. That's really interesting. And we support the remake. We support a new iteration. We support, you know, like, other people having the opportunity to have the great jobs that we were lucky enough to have.
That's really sweet of you to say that.
Yeah, we don't support that.
I don't
thanks.
Believe that.
George is very nice.
No, it happens. Everyone says, oh, we're sorry you're not the remake. Hey, listen, it's life. It's, you know, life happens. Doors open, doors close. But, I mean, we were blessed to do it for so long, which was an amazing run. So,
yeah, people still...
I mean,
well, yeah, and it's also like, realistically, we can't do this until we're 80. Well, maybe you can, George. I would be willing to bet they'll rotate Yes, like every 10 years. I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? Right. It would kind of make sense. So we're all braced for it now. It's okay. Oh, hi, sir.
Oh, you're fine. Hi, I'm Anna. This is my daughter, Lissy. So it's a two-parter. So you walked down the street and people were like, oh my God, that's Lainey Boggs. So what difference do you notice between that fan base and this fan base?
There's not a ton of crossover, which makes me feel very cool that I even get to like have a seat. I love you. Thank you, crossover. Thank you. No, but it feels really neat that I get a seat at both tables, to be honest with you, because it feels very, clubby, the video game world. I think to people who aren't in it, I feel like a little bit of an interloper because I don't know what I'm talking about a lot of the time, but I feel very lucky to be part of it. So the intersection of that and Lainey Boggs, like, I guess I'm the only point in that Venn diagram, but thank you. I guess it's me and you together.
We're good with that.
Thank you.
Your turn.
What was the difference in mindset and preparation for this role versus an on-screen appearance?
That is a very good question. In on-screen appearances, I have to know my lines, apparently. They really like it when you do that. Whereas with video games, you can just literally show up and it's all news to you, and they do not expect any more than that. And it's very, we're all on the same page. It's very liberating. You guys want to feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's lovely to just kind of not have to look like anything. You just be prepared to remove your vocally and get keyed into it, but yeah, you don't have to take a shower necessarily.
No shower, no pants,
which is nice.
You know,
do whatever you want.
The first time, I think it was for Final Fantasy, like, I got the script, I was trying to read the script, and I was trying to, like, oh, I'm going to start memorizing my lines, because that's what we do, and then I get there,
they're like, no,
and they're all different.
They're like, don't do anything, Steve.
They were like, yeah, don't do that. But, you know, the luxury for us is, when we do a project on TV, we get to usually read the whole script, so have an idea who the character is, what the character arc is. When we came into this, we had no idea about anything. So we were just trying to, you know, with the help of the director and, you know, the performances of the people before us, we were trying to figure out this character. So it's a lot different. It was fun and it was challenging, but it's definitely different.
It's true. It's really like a trust fall exercise almost of acting with video games because, you know, I'll say like, why am I being so nice to him? He just, probably your character, did, you know, was really dismissive or rude or something like that. And you're like, you don't understand. Like, well, you know, in the scene that we just had of him, like something really bad happened. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, you just trust them with all of their performance notes just totally blindly. And it's because they're correct and they know what they're talking about.
Thank you, guys.
So it's awesome. This shows that there's video games in the series and the characters, it's heightened, really heightened kind of dramatic situation. It's not, like, realistic in a sense. So it takes on this whole other life and whole other style when it's finished that you really can't pre-work on. It just becomes part of the painting. You know?
Hi.
Sure.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you guys have any tips for voice acting for people who want to begin voice acting?
George, go ahead.
George. No, I would say if you want to, a lot of people ask us that, and if you want to be a voice actor, you should be an actor first and get into an acting class and learn what it feels like to act, because voice acting, especially in animation, is just acting. And if you want to do commercial voiceovers, like, you know, $9.99 for this, whatever, macaroni and cheese, that's different. But if you're going to do an animated voiceover, you're an actor. Be an actor. Take class. Learn how to do it. And see if you like it. And see if you have the skills to keep going with it, you know. So
I think that there are teachers online who you can do, like, a class where they sort of teach you the skills of the basics of voice acting. I know my friend Amy did one of those. I don't remember the teacher's name. I'm not here to promote anyone. And then they help you come up with a demo reel that you can send to agencies. But I do know from just hearsay that it's pretty difficult to get into. I feel lucky that my agency sent me in for this, but it is a small and difficult field to get into.
Be an actor first, and if you get voiceover stuff, great. If not, then you be in a play, and you know it's the same thing. Except the voiceover is just quiet in the corner and with a microphone. But be an actress. Go do it.
You'll be great. Yeah. Good luck.
There you go. Actor, actor. Oh, yes.
We're all just actors now. I'm an actor. It's gender neutral.
Exactly.
Hi. Unbelievable.
What's your name and what's your question?
Hi. My name's Chelsea. And kind of relating back to what Steve said earlier, I was curious if I understand you guys are coming to the characters just doing voices, which obviously you're going to get some personality through that. But was there anything that, like, you wanted to bring more so, and or kind of conversely, was there something that, like, from that character and what you understand of your background and all that, that you thought was, like, you wish in yourself or something even, you wish you had of their personality?
What? Did you say what?
You want me to answer? I want you to answer that one.
I don't have an answer to that. But I will say, doing Cloud, you know, he operated from a lot of pain. And that was interesting for me, because as an actor, like George said, if you want to do voice acting, you need to probably be an actor first. So, to try to emote a lot of emotion through not a lot of voice expression was a big challenge for me. And, it was, as an actor, you have to go to some deep, dark emotional places sometimes to get there. So I like the challenge of that, because again, you're sitting there in a dark, cold room by yourself, you know, getting emotional for a character. I have no idea what I'm doing. And, it was a great challenge, because Cloud does work from pain, you know, a lot of pain. So, he had great hair too. I wish I had his hair. If we're talking about it, he has a nice motorcycle. I would take that. What else? Anything? No? Okay. Is that a good enough answer?
That was a great answer.
Okay, great.
It's very accurate. Great hair. Great motorcycle.
Thank you.
No, but parts of the personality. Again, I guess I'm repeating myself, but Tifa's just total badassery, and also just having such a, coming from a place of her having such a big heart. You know, and her loyalty, I mean, wouldn't want those qualities, right?
True, true. Thank you guys again for being here.
Of course, thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi,
I'm nice outfit.
Thank you. I'm Heather, and of course, George loved you in Scandal.
Thank you.
As Charlie, fantastic. And back to my younger days, of course, enjoyed Rachel and She's All That.
Thank you.
So with all of your different roles and characters that you've played, either voice acting or on screen, what character was your favorite and why?
It's really unusual to get to play a part where you get to hit a lot of different aspects of your personality. For me, this character I played on Scandal, he was an assassin, and he was like a badass guy, but he got to be funny, and I got the girl at the end. It was like his combination, and then on top of it, it was on a show. It was a show that was popular, and it stayed on for 7 years. So, by every metric as an actor, it's you can't get better than that. So, for me, that was probably that one. I mean, there are lots of other things that it was fun to do, but that was like, oh, this is a dream job. This is, you know, when I knew that was over, I was like, oh shit. It was a good ride. It was a good ride. It was really fun.
Rachel,
I can't top that.
Well, yeah, you can.
That's amazing. Come on. That's really cool. Let me tell you, it's so hard because I sort of segment things by like, oh, this is the show where I made those friends who I'm still, you know, so close with to this day. That's the show that I laughed on the most. Like, this is the movie that I can actually watch and not lightly hate myself the whole time. Like, you know what I mean? There's just so, this is the coolest location. So it's impossible to pick just one. Or like the movie that I can watch the most that, whatever, it's probably Josie and the Pussycats. It's just like the performance. performances in that movie, like, oh my god, Parker, Alec, Terry Rosario, like, I can't even with how brilliant they are. Our directors, I just love it. The thing it taught me the most about just, like, how to be a professional, how to raise your game, was working with Eric McCormick on Perception. He's just unbelievable. And, yeah, and I still love She's All That for, you know, probably the reason I'm sitting here right now, that my career continued. So that's a long answer. I'm going to stop talking.
I don't know. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of projects, but General Hospital was really the game changer for me. You know, I got to play a hitman, which is awesome. I know, it's weird. You know, it's a soap opera, but we had some good mafia story for a long time. I killed 87 people.
That's so many people.
A lot of people. Yeah. You should be ashamed
of yourself. A serial killer, but whatever. You know, I didn't stay in jail ever. So it was great, you know, for me. And we did so much action stuff. We really did a lot of probably before its time action stuff for daytime. We would spend all day doing these shootouts were amazing. So I felt like I got to do a lot of different things, the drama, the action, and the things that I love to do. So, you know, doing that off and on for 20 plus years is a huge, huge deal for me. So
I just heard Tom Hanks did an interview and he talked about, someone asked him about his career, about what was your favorite thing to do. And he said, there's the job, there's the work you did, and then there's the hang. He talks about, he said, my best memories are, what was the best group of people to hang out with? And I think about these conventions for me. It's so, I kind of forget where we are, but I was like, oh, I can't wait to go to the con because I get to hang out with a lot of the same people and have a good time. And the movie sets, she's like, oh, that was a really bad movie, but God, I had much fun with those people. Right? Do you have those?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. It was super fun. I was like, he must have had a terrible time on Castaway. No hang.
Zero hang.
Zero hang. Just the volleyball.
Wilson. Yeah, that was it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Actually, guys, we have ran out of time, but we did want to do one thing.
One more. We got one more question.
One more?
Yeah.
One more.
Are you sure?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
I wanted to know what your favorite fan interaction was, whether it was Final Fantasy or any of the other projects that you guys have worked on.
Oh, boy. I've had a lot of fan interactions, so it would be hard to say one, but some lady sent me a wedding ring and proposed through the mail.
Strong. That's a very strong interaction, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what did the letter say?
Will you marry me? You're so awesome and all these things, and there was a ring. I kept a ring, but I said no.
Classic Burton. I mean, again, I cannot top. I'm thinking about it. I have nothing that touches that.
But for me, being in Father of the Bride is such a kind of an iconic. People love that movie, but it's also about a life passage that every dad and a daughter seems to, or a lot of them, go through. And I get stopped at airports all the time. Oh, did we watch that the night before my daughter got married? Or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's crazy to see generationally, for me, those are always fun fan reactions, because it means something in their lives, you know? Not me necessarily, but the movie, so.
I have one that is a little bit of a cheap answer, but just is what's coming to my mind. This businessman in an airport who clearly did not do this kind of thing very often, like, kind of shyly came over to me and goes, sorry, I just had to say something. You were wonderful in Casper. And then just walked out.
Ghosts are real.
I was like, thank you. Thank Christina you. Ricci's, oh, I agree, a wonderful actress.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I know we're wrapping up here, but I just want to say thank you guys for your support over the years. It really means so much to us.
Sephiroth or Tifa in the room right now? Are there any cosplayers here? Stand up.
Is there a Cloud?
No.
There's a Tifa.
Maybe Sephiroth. I feel like it's Sephiroth. You guys have to stand up. We want to see you. Cosplay. We want to see it. Anybody?
Tifa.
I see a sword.
We want to see you. Stand up.
There's some Tifas. A lot of Tifas.
Tifa in the back?
Oh, no Sephiroth.
All right. All right. I cannot believe there's not a Sephiroth in this crowd. I'm freaked out.
Yeah, yesterday there was a...
It's not a good sign.
You guys look great.
All right. You guys are going cool. Well, thank you for dressing up. You're amazing. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Okay, of course, we do want to remind you about Podgagement, which you can find out about at neverlandpodcast.com. Click the links right in there. If you happen to have a podcast, go right in with Podgagement. Get yourself a nice account where you can get your reviews a lot easier and a lot of other fun features. Daniel J. Lewis is continuing to expand on this, and I don't even know that I'm really getting as much of that as what he's made available. There's so much stuff, so much technical wizardry of what he knows how to do that's almost beyond me. It's amazing what he's done, but it is a very handy thing to have. And you'll can see some of the results even on the website. We do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Don't forget, you can email me, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Find us on X or Twitter. I believe we're still under Neverland PCast. We're also on Facebook. We have a group and also a fan page under Neverland Podcast. Don't forget also that we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. You'll find that link also on the website. Also, through Red Circle, where we are publishing our show, there is an exclusive fee that you can sign up for, a little extra fee, and you'll get the show without the ad breaks in the middle, which you had to listen to when I put an ad break in there. But if you don't want to have the ad breaks, you'll get an exclusive feed without those. Also, through our Patreon link, I don't put the ads in that episode either. So you just have a little bit of brief moment of silence where I, you know, give myself a chance to cut the ads in for everybody else. And you get the opportunity to not have the ads. But that's going to wrap it up. I do want to let you know, Vacation Bible School is coming up very, very soon here at my church. And I am teaching the middle schoolers. So odds are I might have another week where I'm not going to be able to get a show because I'm going to be busy. I believe it is the final week of June that is happening. So hopefully I still get something out here for next week, but I might not be able to get anything done for the week after, just so you know. But until we meet again, get lost in an adventure, and I'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.